thank God for another privilege, an opportunity for to, you know, stir ourselves up again and look into the Word of God so that we can move forward in the life that our Lord Jesus Christ custodes. So welcome to another edition of Christ Life Classic. I believe that the Lord will expand His words in our hearts, and we will be blessed again. I think the last time we have considered, you know, several things, we had to go down primarily first again to look at the faith that is in the name of Jesus and what that faith does. And also to also say that at new birth, one of the things we believe to come to is that faith in the name of Jesus, and also the love towards all the saints, which are necessity for us to be able to journey into Christ's life. We need that foundation to be able to come into another measure, you know. And we also looked at fear, why this foundation are necessary. Foundation in the faith, because what that belief will do will cause us to believe Him against limitation, against everything, and all also cause us to love. And one thing love towards all the same does is one thing it brings us to is to cause us to find ourselves as part of a local assembly, you know. And also fear, we learn fear. We learn to fear the Lord, not in awe. We fear His word. We know we fear Him in the midst of His people. You see, these things are very necessary for any serious Christian who wants to journey, any Christian who wants to make progress, any believer who wants to make progress in his life must not joke with this foundation. You know, the faith in the name of Jesus, based on what He has custodied to us, you know. We call them believers' authority. Also, faith. That faith is not only the authority of what we get. It's actually supposed to cause us to journey, you know, to trust Him beyond all, you know. And also, you know, we begin to come into another measure of love. Love, primarily, that is our own love towards the saints. Because, you see, all these things, we need it. We need it in the next phase. If we do not do well here, we can't do well in another phase, because we'll meet them again in another measure. And one of the things I think we had said at the beginning, you know, of this series was the fact that when it comes to the issue of salvation, we have said that one of the things the gospel of Christ is to cause us to come into. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believe. So what the life of Christ wants to bring everyone that believes to is to salvation. So salvation is in view. Yes, we had salvation at new birth, but there's yet another salvation to those that believe. And it's good we believe that. We believe that, you know, the Lord opens various measure of salvation to a man, you know, and it's important. And you see, it's one of the things that is also clear in Scripture is that salvation is by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no salvation, you know, there's no name where any man can be saved. Not only saved, but also coming into the full measure of salvation is by His life. Romans 5:10, it says, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know, He said, for when we are enemies, and that was our state, we're enemies of God because we belong to another who is the enemy and adversary of God. He said, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things He did to us is to reconcile us to His Son. And the process of reconciliation, one of the ingredients of reconciliation is redemption. Redemption that involves the payment of the article. It involves the purchase, you know, and we were redeemed. So that is death. What the death of Jesus did for us, He did redemption. You see, but it is not only to redeem us. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ did not only come to redeem us. He came to reconcile us. You see, because it is a process of reconciliation that will cause us to end in salvation. He said, we shall be saved by his life. So are you saying that at new birth, I was not saved? Well, this is the Bible. This is the Bible. He said, we shall be saved. So it means that when we look at this, it shows that, you know, many of us have been under the misconception that salvation opened entirely as when we confess with our hearts and we believed. No, this scripture makes us see that there's a lot more in progress. And when there's a lot more in progress, we need to seller. We need to pause and think about what needs to. So it's by his life. By his life. So it was not his death. There was what his death did. But there is what his life ought to provide to us, my brothers and sisters. He said, by his life. So his death, you know, his death did a work of redemption, a measure of reconciliation. There's a reconciliation by his life, by his resurrection, by his ascension, by his being seated, by his offerings. There's what his life ought to do. And what he ought to do is called salvation. You see, this salvation is a salvation that we don't come into without using what he used. There is what our Lord Jesus used to live. There is what our Lord Jesus used to live. There is a life he used. There is a faith he used. Because people, you see, that's why at new birth, it is faith in his name. It's not what he used. It, what we had access to at new birth is the authority he custodied for us to use. There was a way he lived. He said, the just shall live by faith. So when you are talking about living, you can't remove faith. For daring is right. See that same Romans? He said, the just shall live. So you can't talk about living without faith. I think we have established that. So there was a faith that our Lord Jesus used. He called it the faith of. It is of. It is what he used. How he regulated his life. It was what regulated his life to a large measure as Christ. In the measure of Christ, there was a faith he used. There's a faith we use, faith in his name. We use that faith, faith towards God. We use that faith. That faith many times does not, because when you talk about faith I use, it means he has a prescription. You know, medication, he has his medication. He has how he medicates our life. I say, and this faith, if that faith, they expect believers to use it. Galatians 3:22, he says, but the scripture had concluded all under sin that the promise of faith. You see, because the faith that our Lord Jesus used, why we need to use it is because we must arrive at the promise of what our Lord Jesus became. He said that the promise by the faith of. So Jesus had a faith he used. Might be given to them that what? Believe. So it means that, my brothers and sisters, there's a faith you have used though, but there's a faith that if you say you believe, you don't come into this faith if you have not believed. If you say you believe, you must graduate to use that faith, because this faith is custodying promise. We should also look at Romans 3:22. It says that even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So, you see what that faith of Jesus, firstly, it is given to all, but that faith must come upon you. What is that coming upon you when I use it? It has been given to us. By his death, his living, we have access to that faith. It has been given to us. You see, but the truth of the matter is that we won't come into it. You know, Hebrews 12 captures it. Is the faith our Lord Jesus uttered. Yes. There is what he uttered, though. I'm telling you. You wonder that, oh, are you saying that the faith that I have in his name is not what he uttered? What he uttered is what he lived by. You know, when you have designated authority, and you know, when you know somebody designates, say, take this, you know, you are just using somebody. But once, if you want to come into the life of that person, then you must live. Because look at what the faith Jesus uttered did. Look at it. If you look at that Hebrews 12, 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Woo. Because people, look at it. Woo for the joy that was set before. See what our faith made. You see, that is faith. See what the faith he uttered. He said, that is faith. You know, the joy that was set before him
caused him to endure cross. The faith he used is a faith that causes endurance. Despising the shame. And he sat down. That faith, he used that faith. And he used it and used it. You see that faith? You not only end him on the cross. The faith caused him to resurrect. The faith caused him to ascend. The faith caused him to set. He's not see though. They say they set him. When you set something, arrangement. There's an arrangement around. It's not seat. That set is not seat. It's not that. You know, there's a man who will say, Jesus is seated. Yes, he's seated at the right hand of God. There's a scripture that says that. But they say set down. That means he's arranged. There's a posture. When you say you set something, there's an arrangement. There's a way. You say, at the right hand of the throne of God. That is the faith our Lord Jesus authored. Now, why you and I, as believers, must use this faith is because we must arrive at that same throne. If we use that faith, we will arrive here. We can live to come to that faith. We can live and come to that faith. When the Lord begins to move us to this measure of faith, endurance is nothing. You know, because why? What is the joy? Do you know one of the joy that the Lord sets? He saw me and you. It was, he saw, you know, the second person in the Godhead saw that their dream of having man in their image and likeness come to pass. That was the joy. The joy that made him endure the cross was not so himself. Was not so, no, it was also much more the future. Our Lord Jesus saw a future. He saw me and you. He saw men. Men coming to be set at the right hand of God. He saw that and he lived. Jesus used a life. You see, and that's why a Christianity that removes living from me and you has cheated us. A Christianity that makes us think that all that there is to God is what I can receive from him. The things that pass away is a Christianity that has brought a limitation to the dream of God. It's a Christianity that has brought a limitation to the dream of God for man. A Christianity that will not do a change. A Christianity that will not make you endure. You know, and that's why when the world says things like, you know, impatience, the world is endorsing impatience. Yes. The world is endorsing a life that removes endurance. Man, you know, you see people hop jobs. People change jobs like a blink of an eye. People up relationships. People change. That's why, that's the same way people also exchange marriage. You know, a Christianity that will not cause you to know that there's a living that will cause endurance. There's a living that brings cross. You see, all of us, we must carry our cross. It's in scripture. Yeah. And that cross is for us. He said, endure the cross, his own cross. He said, despising the shame. Okay, just talking about the cross. Matthew 16, 24, he said, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come up, let him deny himself and do what? That denying yourself is endurance. Yeah. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me means live my life. Use my faith. Take up his cross, follow me, use my life, live by faith. Because that cross, me and you must be crucified on the cross. Yeah. Yes, so, because when you say, I'm now crucified with Christ, you know, we have quoted Galatians 2:20. Then there's the life I live. I live. So there's a crucifixion that a believer must know that his life costs stone. So, but the world does not preach that crucifixion. The world causes you that if you feel like you do it, you know, I feel like shouting. I don't have patience. My bandwidth of patience, I am triggered. You know, those words are words that remove living from Christians. And you know, the world uses it as strength. You know, go to where you are celebrated. You know, my reality. You see, all those things are things that remove living from us. As a believer. Because if we don't live, we can't arrive at the throne. Honestly, yeah. We can't resurrect it. We will always remain perpetually in death. Because what will make you live is because you are crucified. You say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. If there's no crucifixion, there can't be a living. So God expects us to live a faith that he endured the cross. Came to a place where there was a joy saying, you see that joy, we cannot see it. You see, at new birth, you don't see that joy. The best at new birth, we believe, is that we are going to heaven. And heaven is the destination to anyone that believes and receives Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But there's much more to what God has. Say, endure the cross. And what, you know, despise a shame. And he said, so you can see what the faith of Jesus caused him to do. So there was a faith that Jesus uttered. Galatians 2:16, and it's all in epistle. We see it. I just want us to know that there was a way Jesus lived. Galatians 2:6 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Excuse me, this makes us know that our Christian faith is not about regulation. It's not religion. It's not what you present, say, you know, a Christian does this, a Christian. That justification comes by the faith of Jesus, by the life of Jesus. How I will be justified is when my life is aligned, I come into the prescription of the faith of Jesus. Amen. Even when we have believed. You see that this faith, I only have access to it only when I believe. Yeah. Revelation 14:12, it's all over scripture about the faith, exhibition of the saint. Here are they that keep the commandment and the faith of Jesus. Oh. So there is a faith of Jesus. There's a faith that Jesus lived by. Galatians 2:20, which you have quoted, he said, I am now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a faith that is in Jesus that we must live by. Because people, there's a faith that every born again Christian had access to. As he, you know, new birth, as he believed. That faith made you, you know, believed in Jesus, believed in his name, you know, believed in the possibility of Jesus, opened a world of supernatural, of things happening to your, to you, you know. Opened a world, you know, opened a world of, you know, of a new tongue. Opened a world of signs and wonders. You know, those things, Jesus didn't live by that, because when we talk about faith, it means there's a measure of living. And we had said earlier that what faith should do, you know, he said, now faith is substance of things hoped for. Evidence, not what? Seen. So where faith wants to bring us to is substance. Spiritual substance. Where, you see, we don't have evidence. There's a faith we have used in the name of Jesus that had been about evidence. Yes. And it's okay. And we still use it. If I'm sick, of course, I'll believe in his word. Yes. If I see a sick person, I won't tell you, have you taken paracetamol? Have you taken medication? The first thing I will tell you is that, let me pray with you. Yeah. I can lay my hands upon you. Yeah. If I see a demon-possessed person around me misbehaving, and in the name of Jesus, yes, come out of it. You know, I can trust God. I can believe God. Yeah. Can believe, you know, in the supernatural. I can speak in tongues. I can pray. I can speak in new tongues, you know. That faith is beautiful, you know. It gives me access to the things that, you know, access to some of the, to the authority of our Lord Jesus. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. It gives me access. But, you know, we also say that that faith will move to a place where I can trust him beyond limitation. I can trust him with all my life. I can bank my life on him. And a believer must do well. At new birth, you must journey to a point where you can put your eggs in this basket of faith in the Lord Jesus without option. Option of relationship. You know, most people do multiple relationships because they don't know if this brother, you know, they know all manners of, even when you have done that faith, you know, in the Lord Jesus, there's what, but there's what the faith, there's a way he lived his life. When you now say faith of somebody, that means it's the life of somebody. That means there's a way. It means that for every thought he thought, there was faith of. For every breath, for every thinking, every behavior, there was a reason. And that's why you hear him, as I see my father do. You just see that Jesus lived a life that was aligning to the Father. It was that faith. You see, and this faith, you know, like I said, he said, woe for the joy set before him. You see, that faith, me and you cannot see it. Honestly speaking, we cannot see it. He said, you know, who was said, I enjoy despising the shame for the joy. You see that joy, many of us don't see it. You can't see the joy that is set before you. You need to see that joy so that you can endure the cross. So one thing that faith of Jesus does for us, you know, we said Jesus custodied by living. But the state we are in, it is good a believer acknowledges that what Jesus became, confessing and believing, cannot bring me to it like that. Because, you know, we have talked about our state. We were in sin and death, trespasses. We were not only dead. We don't work our commands. You don't understand. Things have beguiled our mind. You know, wearing in type as you walk. There was what we were walking. There was a way we see things. When say according, there's a way, honestly, at new birth, there's a way you see things. You say, the way I'm seeing it, all of us, we have our judgment, we have our perception, we have our inspiration, your everything. You have your identity. New birth, we thank God for it, but there's a journey, there's a trust of journey that my eyes must be open. So when Paul was saying that Ephesians 1, he said, after I've heard of your faith and your love towards all the saints, after, wherefore I also, after I've heard of your faith in Lord Jesus, faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Making mention, that is, Paul came to Ephesians church and saw that these guys have really thrived in faith in the Lord Jesus. They've tried in love towards the saints, but they still lack. This is an apostle will come, a true apostle will come to. Apostles come to an assembly and can discern the state and the lack. That's one major trust of an apostle. When you say you receive an apostle into your midst, it's not only the signs and wonders. Those things are supposed to be a witness. You know, if we come to an assembly, we can see a lack. And that lack is able to push. And that's why the ministry of apostles, you know, ministry of the prophetic in our midst in the church, you know, true apostles, true prophets, to prophets, because they need to bring enlightenment. Yes. One thing an apostle does to you is enlightenment. There's something you see, and that enlightenment for you to move up in your measure of life. He says, cease not to give thanks for you. Meaning, the first thing Paul did was, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the Ephesians church, how you have helped the Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. And then he said, I begin to make mention of you in prayer. Meaning that, Lord, all these people have come to, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a God that guided our Lord Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh. A God that guided him to the place where he ended up. The Father of glory that brought him to glory. He was saying, this was what our Lord Jesus consoled. May give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The height of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his inheritance in the saints. You see, this hope of his calling, these riches, God's people, you and I do not know we have any riches in us. Forget when they say that you have potential. This is not potential. This is not potential. This is not potential of how you can do. He said, what is the riches of glory? Excuse me, riches of glory is not what is passing away. He said, inheritance in the saints. The riches of his inheritance, that is, when God looks at man, there's what God wants to inherit in man. Motivation speaking does not touch these riches. They call it hope. My hope of my calling can definitely be to become that which is passing away. Cannot be what cannot last. Cannot be what this, the environment and the conditions of this earth will touch and it will scatter. You say, what is the exceeding greatness of what? Of his power. Towards who? According to the working of my power. You see, this power is that same power in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Unto, let's go back to that Ephesians 1:18. You see, there's a power of God. That power of God, excuse me, is not a power that raises death. Yes, because death is not when a man drops dead. Yes. It's not when a saint leaves his body. This is not when a saint leaves his body. He said, according to the working of his what? Mighty power. So, you know, we say, agbara. You know, we see miracles. We say, agbara, Lord. Yes, it's a power of God to a measure. But there's a power of God that takes a man from hell, raises a man from hell, causes that man to ascend and sit him on the throne. When Jesus was talking about Lazarus, Jesus resurrected Lazarus, but did Lazarus not die again? So when Jesus was saying, I'm the resurrection and the life, what was he saying? Lazarus died again. So that cannot be agbara. Our Lord Jesus knew that real power working towards a man, when real power works towards a man, is that a man is raised in every faculty of him, his spirit, his soul. He doesn't have measure of death. What is death? Death is anything that drives a wedge between you and God. That is what separates you from God. When you are thinking malice, think that you are dead. A dead life we are used to. You know, I always say that many of us, we are still vampires. We have been quickened in our spirit. You know the way vampires work? We're just, we don't have light. We don't have, you'll just be going, you're just going, going, still operating the same manual of death. When they say eyes, because eyes must be open to us. One thing, hearing. You know when you hear, yeah. And you, as you're hearing, you'll be, it will bring enlightenment for us to see hope. Because eyes must see hope. You see, we must see that joy. That joy is what this Ephesians listed. The joy set. He said, according as children to see, you, we must see God's people. We must see hope. We must see that there's hope. That what, when God is looking at you, when God is looking at me, he's not looking at me about, okay, as a woman, I do this, I marry. That's not the hope. And I have children, I live a good life, I did. That's not hope. You see, it is death that makes us think every time the present.
Yeah.
The only thing some people can pray for themselves is this present. They can only pray that God, Lua shall know for me. When you're asking for God's mercy, is God, show me mercy, open doors for me. You know, you're looking for business opportunity, you're looking for open doors, you're looking for marriage, you're looking for pursuit, you're looking for good things, you're looking for money, you're looking for position. That is the best that some people, Christians, can pray for themselves. You know, it's real. A new bed, you can't even begin to pray yourself that God, help me to live a life that will set, cause me to sit on the throne. Ken Hagin said this is a prayer he prayed for years.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to start, my people. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us. You see, this Ephesians, one prayer, Colossians, you know, they call them Pauline prayers. Right. We should pray them. We should pray them. Because honestly speaking, it's not the English that I'm speaking now. God must enlighten. And our eyes must, our understanding must be enlightened to see what? To see hope. And the unseen riches of the inheritance that is what? In the saints. When they say somebody is enlightened, enlightenment is, it means that a believer needs to have light. Psalm 13:3 says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep what?
The sleep of death.
My brothers and sisters, if you don't have light, you'll be sleeping in sleep of death.
Oh, mercy.
What is that sleep of death? Living another life. You need light. One way the faith of our Lord Jesus come is a light. You want life to live now? Because that one faith is to live. He said, waking that sleeper from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what?
Light.
You can see that when they want to awaken a soul from the dead, they first need to give that soul light. Let there be light.
Let there be light.
There be light. Because it's lack of light that makes a believer still thinks. You know, he's operating faith and has not seen a way to live his life. What still conditions his choices, his decision, everything is still what is seen around. His peer pressure, family pressure. That place is a place of death. So when David was praying, he said, consider and hear me. This was a prayer too. God, lighten my eyes. I need eyes. Can we have believers that we pray that God give me eyes to see? She me load you. Let me see. You know, some believers, when, excuse me, I want to say this. This is not for you to see vision. That God is opening your eyes. It's not that like you're seeing angels, you're seeing demons. I can see. That one, they've not opened your eyes. They've not opened your eyes. Even dead men, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams.
Yes.
You know, people condition their life with dreams. Nebuchadnezzar, a dead man, had dreams of the future. Even as a believer, if the only way God shows you things is when you are sleeping, you are dead. When you're awake, they cannot show you. It means that they have to put you to sleep before you can see a vision. You can learn. They can show you things. You are in the region of death. Your thoughts, your meditation, they can't put thoughts inside your heart. But yet, Satan can put thoughts and meditation in your mind. You can see prospects. I mean, you can dream a dream. I have a dream. God, yet you can't have the dream of God. They have to put you to sleep. You know, I remember a father years ago, you know, there's one brother that used to, you know, every time dream. And when there's an issue, just, okay, let me just go and sleep. He now said, brother, this is your go and sleep. So if there's an emergency now, you first go and sleep. That emergency would have killed you. So I can dream. He said, you know, believers say, the dream, when I dream. You see, so I'm saying that visions, the realms of visions and dreams, it's not that they've enlightened you. It's not that you have been enlightened. That's not vision. You know, when I started saying that, one prayer we begin to need to pray is that God open our eyes. Yeah. That open our eyes is not that you will see another realm. You just see things. You can see when we say Satan put men in the region of death, this is what he did. Hebrews 6:4, it says, it is impossible for them who were once enlightened and tasted of what? The heavenly gift. And made partakers of what? The Holy Ghost. Being partakers of the Holy Ghost is not that we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. There's what the Holy Ghost wants to bring us to. We know we are said is the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Truth. Holy Ghost is the seventh Spirit of the Lord. Holy Ghost is the sparing Spirit of God before the throne. He says, so when you are enlightened, if you are not enlightened, you can't taste heavenly gifts. Forget, this is scripture. So enlightenment is a big deal. And one major trust that a believer, when you say you are of age, is that you have eyes to see. Because Ephesians 4:17, you know, he said, therefore, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of what? Another way for that vanity of that. You see how he explained itself. He's having the understanding what? So where enlightenment should come is our understanding. As much as you are not enlightened, you are alienated from the life of God. You are alienated from the faith of God through the ignorance that is in there. Because of what? Blindness. You see this thing? See, understanding is darkened. Blindness of heart. You see, that mind is dark, blind in it, that vanity. When you see something is vain, something is dull. So the mind is dull, the understanding is darkened, the heart is blind. You know, a believer can be quickened in the spirit, but everything in soul is dark, region of death. Mind, yo, understanding, no, heart, yo, oh, do, kuru, kuru. And that's why when you see believers, we need to call believers a slack. They are not perfect when you can't come to light. He said, yeah, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. If his eyes is not enlightened, he will never know that what he's doing is what. Yeah. You know that? And it's good we acknowledge that at new birth, we are babies. When I say babies, our spirit man is a man. But the region of our soul is a baby. So when we're quickened, when you are born again, is a man. We're quickened. There's no baby spirits. You know, maybe say, I saw a baby, Egberi, and all those things. It's all demonic manipulation. Demons are terrible. Demons can turn color black to white. And believers will be running. So, you know, but in our spirit, in our soul, we are babies. You see, when you say baby, one thing you know, and you, biology has proved it, that a baby can see at birth, but their vision is blurry. You know that? Because they can only, at birth, the baby can only focus about 8 to 12 inches. The major senses a baby develop at birth is hearing. And smell. How a baby knows his mom is his mother's voice. Go and try it. He says, what's his mom, my bear? How a baby smell. You know, you've seen baby that when they want to go out, they put the mother's clothes on it so that he can still smell the mother's clothes. His eyes is still very blurry. It takes months because the eyes and the brain, that brain, you see, is understanding they have not yet developed. They cannot focus on things. It's a measure of it. You see, from some certain age to age, gradually, the baby will begin. His blurriness is developed. Even when the eyes is there, you know the eyes is there. And then you now see they can, from 2 months or so, you can see that they can focus on things. They can spot things. By 12 months, to a large extent, you know, because colors, they even have issues with colors. Why do you give babies bright colors? Because they are not able to. So I'm just trying to say, I knew that we don't have eyes. Before 12 months, they will say, okay, to a large extent, you know, you can see. But even at that, vision is not totally given. It's not total. It's true. We're still developing. The pupil, every part of the eye. Because when you talk about eyes, this eye, the biology of the eyes is very complex. Go and ask the ophthalmologist. Very, very complex. What brings sight? Because sight, vision, why? Sight causes you to see. And you know, the issue of seeing, where image is formed, there's where image is formed, is also linked to your thinking. It's linked to interpretation of the mind. So I'm saying that we need ears. We need eyes. So and what we get at new birth, as we grow up, what faith, you know, why we need to pray that prayer is that my eyes will be open. Amen. Are you a believer? You have journeyed, you have exercised yourself in faith in the Lord Jesus. You have believed. You need to begin to pray this prayer that God cause me my eyes to be enlightened, that I may see. Because we must have eyes to see. You see these eyes. This was the eyes of our Lord Jesus. When he said he was living by faith, this was Jesus' eyes. You know, there was a movement that said, We need eyes to see what Jesus will do in situation. We need eyes to see how Jesus will handle things. You have handled things, so you don't believe I can handle this. You and I, we have handled situation, we have handled conflict, we have handled orishirishi. You know, we need eyes to see, you know, what Jesus will do. You know, there was a movement at a point. I remember I said, what Jesus will do movement. You cannot see what Jesus will do if you don't have eyes. You will continue to do your thing. Your own thing, how you see it, how you feel, you need to respond to a matter. The way you burst out in anger. But you see, why? What am I saying? That believers don't sit in that region. Don't sit in that region that what you bring out in your responses, in relationship, is how you do things. You are provoked, then I need to answer. It's because eyes have not been opened to you. You know, one thing about babies is that their stimuli is very bad. They cry for everything. Even the thing that is right in front of them. Have you not seen you are giving baby a baby? You want to give the baby his bottle. He's still crying. Baby, wee-wee, is crying. Crying. You know, sometimes they even cry when they don't know what is wrong with them. Sometimes, have you seen, and I used to do it with my little ones then, when they are crying, and I've tried everything, then I begin to mimic their crying. Then at a point, they keep quiet and start looking at me. Because it's just to make it like, it's not a chorus. Then the baby himself start looking at me and say, he now stops crying and start looking at me. What is wrong with you? I say, I'm mimicking you. So a baby, all manners of stimuli, they will fight. That's, you see that thing? And you see, being a baby is not an insult. It's just a state. And being a baby is tantamount to being carnal. 1 Corinthians 3. I just want to say, when you say you're a baby, you are drinking milk. When you're a babe, when you are still using this, you have not moved to that, you know, the measure of the life. You are still drinking milk. He says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful. That unskillful means you are not enlightened. A skilled person needs to be enlightened in the word of, for he is a babe. Drinking milk, I mean, as an adult, I still like milk. We're going to drink milk. We can take it to yogurt as an adult. Some adults, they get irritated by milk. Some adults are getting irritated by milk, but that milk, they drank it a lot as a baby. But when they now say, you are a babe, 1 Corinthians 3, when he was extraying, you know, the issue of babe, 1 Corinthians 3, 1, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto what? You see, a lot of us, when we want to judge it, that brother and sister is spiritual. How is he spiritual? He's speaking in tongues. He's dunking his head. You see, that's even a show of babe. We hear in judgment. A babe hears in judgment. There's no skill. And that's why sometimes magicians, sorcerers, they catch believers. They catch babes. You know that? It's happening here. A babe, that's a babe. A spiritual person can endure speaking. Can a babe endure speaking? They even tell us that when they are babe, their attention span is how many minutes? As their babies, they tell us to keep very, very small attention. You can't speak to them. Can you speak to a babe the way you speak to an adult? So one thing a babe can endure is ability to endure speakings. So when you see people jump churches, it's a babe. No, I don't care who you are. I don't care how many years you are a babe. If you cannot endure sitting, speaking, sound doctrine, you are a babe. If something is wrong with your bum bum, you're always jumping. You are a babe. And please, it's not an insult. That's what that 1 Corinthians 1:3, he says, but as unto what carnal, and that's carnal. They said that's what? Carnal. So a babe is a carnal Christian. He's a carnal believer. And you say, oh, you're a carnal Christian. Please, don't feel entrusted. Just telling you, when they call somebody a carnal believer, just take it as a challenge accepted, challenge of growth. You know, he said, even as unto babes in Christ. So when it comes to the issue of Christ, that was on, you are still what? Baby. Say, I've fed you with milk and not yet with what? Meat. And that's why what we give babies is milk. We don't give you meat, we give, just keep giving milk. Milk of the word. What is milk of the word? Apostle doctrine. You know, the word, you continue, and you see prayer, breaking of bread from house to house. Can you see why fellowship? It's fellowship. All those things are fellowship. To get good milk, you must remain among your brethren, among the disciples. You must remain among. That's where you will find good milk. You find good milk on your bed on Sunday morning streaming. You can't find good milk on being an online believer streamer. It's among. You say, believed in common, sold all their possession. Yeah. Acts showed you what they were doing. Mm. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. Mm. You know, you listen. One thing, where you get good milk is listening. Can you stay fast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers, you know? And fear came. Can you see? Breaking of bread, that is, you continue. You continue. How you get, you can't do milk without continuing. So let's go back to verse 1 Corinthians. He says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you, but as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ, yes. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to what? Behave. Neither yet are you not able to what? Yet. So, like I said, a baby cannot be anything. It cannot be a hunger. Yeah. It cannot be a lack. And that's why at new birth, when you pray, they answer you. If they don't answer you, pray. It's a baby that will say, God, if you don't do this thing, I will stop serving you. It's a baby that is talking. God, if you don't kill God, they quickly answer a baby. Oh, Tim, party, whoa, quickly, yeah, give him, shock him with milk. They always want something. Quickly change them. You know, they cannot bear anything. They cannot bear if the temperature changes. They cannot bear nothing. They are hot. They are crying. You know? And so when you are like that, you are easily irritated as a Christian. Say everybody is irritating you. You have shots. You are a baby. You are a baby, you are a carnal. Brother, sister, you need to grow up. You know, you don't have patience for anybody. For yet are you carnal, for whereas there's among you what? Envy and what? Strife and what? Division. Are you not carnal and work as what?
Man.
My brother and sister, if you still envy, you know, envy is different dimension.
Yes,
there's envy that a babe has.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen babies when they are playing with toys? You see another toy, they want to take another baby's toy. And it's my own. Have you seen babies like that? You know, when you can envy your brother easily. See the issue. Ha. Your shoe. Some of us, you're so bad with envy that we don't even have good mouths. You see something good from a brother, you cannot even say, this is so nice. And you know, the everything say, you know this thing that people say, I've told people say, God, when? A sign of envy. When you can't see something good, you must always attach it to yourself. You a sign. You don't need to see somebody can the next thing you say, God, when? You cannot even be thankful for that person. You bought a new car. Oh, yes. Enter the car. Even give money for petrol. That, you know, that's envy. It's a strife. And you know, envy is a measure. There's envy for people who are growth. Because there's all envy. All strife. Even strife too. No, let's just still stay here. And strife. If you cannot live without having issue, you are the one. You are a Christian. You are fighting your neighbor. You are the one that will block neighbor at the back. They will call you to come and remove you. You say you are sleeping or that you are having morning devotion. You know that neighbor goes out early in the morning. You are the one that in the compound, utility bill is you. You are still a baby. You are still a baby. Where everything strife. In a team, your team leader say go like this. You are going like that. You are a baby. You cannot work with people. Please, I don't have patience with that. You know, what I'm saying is that we've seen believers, even they speak it out. They've not acknowledged that. You see this thing you're churning out from your mouth. You know, you are a baby that is talking. Strife, divisions. You can divide things. You know how you divide things? It's be your mouth now. This person said something. You can't hear something. From your mouth. Even when you hear wrong thing, must you parrot it? Did you hear? You know how to orchestrate division. I see this thing. Let me tell you. In Acts chapter 6, we saw it. There was a two set of people in that Acts chapter 6. Milk have brought some people to a point where they began to see faith and see beyond division. But there was another group in that apostolic doctrine that were drinking milk that, firstly, they could murmur. There are two issues here. It's not only murmuring here. There was also the issue of the ministration, neglection. In church, some brethren divide food. You know when they are sharing food in church or snacks? This one is from Igbo. This one is Yoruba. This one is this one is from my community. Or this one, we live around the same area. Division. If we continue in the apostles' doctrine, so these are people that were relating with the apostles that we did not even see in the days of the flesh. They were coming daily. I want you to see that it's an issue of growth. It's an issue that, some people had grown to a place where they said, select. And you see the response of the apostles. Apostles, they discern that it's actually an issue of growth. But they also know that in this mixed growth, there are people who have grown. There was an issue of growth, but they knew, the apostles knew that in this, their company, they had babies in different measure. that people select among you. Where are they selecting from? Among you. That's what I want to say again. Among you. Seven people. So you see, when you are growing, your brethren know. We know when you are growing. Because you are aligning yourself according to faith. Because the people that selected was not the apostle, it was their brethren. We are sister is better at division. Sister Diola knows how to manage things. She said she doesn't have any bias. You know, they knew. You say, men who were what? They had a report that they were honest. When you do good milk, you must be honest. Believers, especially artisans, I want to talk to you. Where are you? I'm coming. When will you bring the job?
Hey.
Tomorrow.
Hey.
Tomorrow becomes next month. And you are a believer. You have not drank milk well. You say, full of the Holy Ghost and what? Wisdom. You see that wisdom? It's not a wisdom that comes by our faith in the Lord Jesus. These people, the Holy Ghost has done a measure. Because where the Holy Ghost will drop us is when we are fully Christ. So that Jesus can come again. I want to believe that the Lord will come to us again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. That's when we have eyes.
Amen.
That God will give us eyes. To see. Because we need to pray this Ephesians prayer.
Yeah.
There's what we need to pray. We need to keep praying it and praying it and praying. When I'm thinking about myself, I will not only be thinking that is passing away of things. I begin to have understanding, enlightenment, to see hope. Why he called me. What? To see riches of glory in inheritance of the saints. And the greatness of his what power towards me that I believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters that you will give us eyes.
Amen.
Oh, we need eyes. We need eyes in every measure, that you continually open our eyes.
Amen.
For those that eyes have not been opened to see the faith and that Jesus lived by, you begin to open their eyes.
Amen.
You begin to come to them.
Amen.
For those that have eyes open, you will further open eyes.
Amen.
That we might see that hope of your calling. Help eyes to be open. Help us, oh God. Move us forward.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord will bless us.
Amen.
With eyes.
Amen.
The Lord will bless us so that we can see joy. We can have eyes. In Jesus' name.